It is good to see everyone on this September 11th, 2022. The title of today's message is God Working in You, Part 3. Just going to tie up some loose ends that we've been looking about and maybe deepen just a couple of points, and then we will move on. We are in Philippians 2 again, but before we begin today, as this is 21 years since the attack on America by the Islamic terrorists from Saudi Arabia, finance, Iran, Iraq, all those situations that came to war against us that day in an undeclared war where they did not attack our armies, they attacked innocent civilians going to work, babies in daycare centers, and all of those things. And we just cannot forget that. Lives were changed forever. People are hurting today because their moms, their dads, their children did not come home. And we want to salute those first responders that ran in to the dangers, knowing that they were going to give up their lives. There was no way they could survive. Especially the towers as they were falling. And if you get time, you know, get on the internet today, look at some of those personal stories, stories of loss, stories of bravery. You know, for me to say we lost 3,000 lives that day does not give it justice. These lives were changed forever. People on airplanes that were just going to try to do their business, some going on vacations. It was hateful, it was evil, and I'm not going to candy coat it because that is what it was. We were attacked because we believe in Jesus Christ. We stand for Jesus Christ. America was attacked because we believe in freedom and capitalism. We believe in treating women as women and as equals and as good folks, and we believe that we need to love our enemies, not enslave them. We believe we need to try to minister to our enemies, not destroy them. And don't take my word for it. I have a copy of the Quran. You need to get one. Every American needs to read one and understand what gets taught in that religion. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will comfort these families that lost loved ones. I thank you, Lord, for the bravery of Americans that saved so many lives knowing they were going to lose their own. Flight 93, Lord, where those passengers took it upon themselves instead of allowing that plane to get into Washington to crash it in a field in Pennsylvania, knowing they would lose their own lives but save many others. To the firemen, the EMT, the policemen, the National Guard, those that responded and ran up stairwells knowing they would never come back down. Father, for the wives, the husbands, the children, and the grandchildren that were left behind. Father, we pray for these families. Lord, we pray for America today. May you raise up leaders in this country that will call a spade that will speak the truth. Father, that will believe in the nationalism that you established at the Tower of Babel. When you confused the languages and said, I will make nations, I will establish boundaries so that there will be no global one world government that the devil will one day bring to pass. And so, Father, we stand for America, for the solitary nation as one. And we believe that Americans should take pride in America, and that Canadians and Mexicans and Spanish folks and folks from all over the world should stand with their nations as we stand with ours. And Father, we stand with America today. We believe in God. We believe in family as instituted by God in the Bible. And we believe in America as one nation under God. And Father, we support this country, but most of all, we stand for you, Lord Jesus, knowing every blessing in our personal life and every blessing on America has been shed on us by thee. And so we sing unto you, Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says this, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Lord Jesus, as I come today, I ask for forgiveness, a daily sin, weekly sin. I pray, Lord Jesus, to be cleansed by your blood as I confess these things specifically and out loud to you when it's just me and you, Lord. And Father, as I'm cleansed by your blood, I pray to be anointed by your Spirit and used by you today in a spirit of humility and service to wash the feet of these folks who have gathered in this place and those that will listen to this website. Father, the Word of God will not come back void. Your truth will never fail. And Lord Jesus, we just bow before you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want to thank you, Lord, that you came and Emmanuel is with us. And I want to thank you, Lord, that you are coming back to claim your own and set all things right in the name of Jesus. It'll be set right in your name, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, mighty warrior. And we fear not men today. We trust in you. In your name we pray. Amen. Work out your own salvation, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we're going to look at two parts today, your part and God's part. And I want to praise God for both parts. And then we want to look at the truth that we've been studying, that God is working in you to accomplish his will, his plan, and his purpose for your life. So I want to praise God that it is Christ's power working in us and through us and for us. And I want you to understand something. When I say Christ's power working in us, in each specific area of our life, finances, relationships, family, job, career, your future, child rearing, relationship with your spouse, whatever specific area of your life, God desires to work in all of those. And I'm not just talking about his power, I'm talking about his blessings in those areas and his provision in those areas. You want what God wants you to have in your relationships, in your finances, in your job, in your hobbies, in your decision making. And that's why we need to understand his part and our part. Last week we looked at John 10. Jesus said, follow me. That's our part. What was his part? I'll lead you to green pastures. I'll provide everything you need. Follow me and I'll lead you. And I'll lead you to blessing. And I'll lead you to peace. And I'll lead you to hope. I'll take care of you. So, what is our part as we follow him? We are to give over to the lordship authority of Jesus Christ every area of our life. Lord, you take over this area. Lord, I want to do what you want me to do in this area. I want you to control this area of my life. And I want to, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, not lean on and not trust in my own understanding. I want to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I want to trust wholeheartedly in the Lord with what I'm doing today. I'm trying to get to a place in my life where I'm just going to get up here and preach and trust Jesus. Yeah, you know, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to do the best I can. But I wrote my outline only once this week, not five times. Not rewriting it. Now I'm just going to leave it in your hands, Lord. 39 years in the ministry, 62 years of age. I'm trying to give things over to God. I can't say anything on Thursday morning that's going to change anybody, help anybody, save anybody. But I can be true to God. I'm going to let the Lord Jesus Christ take over that memorial service and you do what you will. I'm going to do a wedding tomorrow in Killeen, Alabama, a memorial service in Charleston. And I get so nervous. Because at least on Sunday morning, if I mess up, I can come back next Sunday and fix it. But if I mess up that wedding tomorrow, they ain't going to get married again for me to come back and fix it. And I only, in 39 years, I've only done one service for one person at a time. I don't get to go back and do the second funeral because I messed up the first one. But I told Patty, I said, I'm just going to trust you. For the first time in my life, I'm throwing this thing in his hands, and I'm trying very hard. Because when you are a burden bearer and a fixer and a person that takes responsibility for the people in this room when they go out and sin, I feel like I didn't preach well enough. So I've got to learn to give things over to God. And I think you do also. And so last week, I hit another point that I want to go a little bit more deeply into. And that was, you know, a lot of times we think we're living for Jesus, and we are. But you can't live for Jesus if you don't realize you're living with Jesus. And the beautiful thing is, you're not just living with Jesus. Jesus is living with you, His presence. And so often we find ourselves in an antagonistic relationship with the Lord. Like, you know, like He's some heavy taskmaster and I can't please Him and I can't do the things I need to do. We almost live as if we're enemies from God. Well, Romans 5 tells us when we were lost, we were enemies. I was an enemy against Christ when I was lost. But when I became born again, the Holy Spirit cries out, Abba, Father, and I am now a child of God.
Amen.
And everybody in this room, Cameron, loves their children in a very special way. And loves their grandchildren in a very special way. And then Jesus goes another step and He calls me His friend.
Yeah.
So I want you to focus today on Christ being with you. You being a child of God and Jesus being your best friend. So go with me to Matthew chapter 28 and let me let you understand. I don't know what you're going through in life or what you're worried about or what consumes your thoughts. But I want you to understand something today. Jesus Christ is with you. And this is the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. And it says this, and a lot of times we focus on the making disciples part, but in Matthew 28, verse 18, Jesus says this. Jesus came and He spake unto them and He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And that's all I want you to read. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then come down to verse 20, part C. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All power is given unto Jesus, and Jesus is with us. So all the power of Jesus is with you today. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, all that power is with you today. And we are to understand that. And we're not going to read about making disciples. We're not going to read about baptizing in His name. Because whatever we're doing for Jesus, the thing He wants us to understand is, all power is given unto me. I am with you. And I will strengthen you and empower you to do whatever I'm calling you to do. David, whether it's taking care of your dad during this time, God's going to strengthen you. He's going to give you the power. He's going to get you through. And these are the things that we are to understand. Go with me to Hebrews 13. I shared this with you last week. But Hebrews chapter 13. And I'm pausing not for dramatic effect, but because my pages are sticking and I usually put a little marker here so they won't do that. So I may have to quote this one without turning to the page, but I'd sure enough like to turn to it. All right, here we go. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. At the end, it says this. I'll start with verse B. It says, be content with whatever you have in life. Be content with where you are right now. And trust in Jesus. Be content with whatever you have. Because I have said, I will never leave you and I will never fail you. I am with you. I will not leave you and I will not fail you. And then you can say, the Lord is my helper and He is going to help me with this. And I'm not going to fear what I'm about to go through. I want to praise God that the Lord wants to help us through life. Whatever you're facing today, God wants to strengthen you, Matthew 28. He wants His power to be involved in it. And then number two, in Hebrews 13, He wants to be your helper. He wants to help you shoulder the load. We're going to see that in a moment. And so, your part in all of this is giving it over unto God. I mean, really giving it over unto God. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord wholeheartedly and lean not, depend not on your own understanding. Now, I just want to give you a logical argument for that. Am I going to depend on my understanding, my thinking, my strength, and my ability instead of the thinking, the strength, the power, and the ability of the one who created the universe? Why in the world would I do that? Why would I depend on myself to handle this and handle that and handle this and make sure, yeah, you know, we got to do this and we got to do that and we got to figure this out instead of giving it over unto God? Now, there are times, there are things we've got to think about, and God will give us wisdom and God will guide us. But how many times do we spend a majority of time thinking about things we have absolutely no control over and can't make any difference in? God will take care of. And if you're like me, you don't always harp on the things that concern you. You harp on the things that concern your children and your grandchildren and your loved ones. It's so easy for me to forgive folks that do things to me. Very difficult for me to forgive folks that have done things to Patty. And you know, that's a huge thing for me. And I'm not sure I've crossed that line in every relationship over the last... Patty and I have been together since we were 16. You know, somebody asked me the other day, said, you know, talking to me about relationship advice, and I was telling Patty, I said, I have no credibility. I said, I've only been in one relationship, and it's been since I was 16. And, yeah, you know, I don't know how everybody else deals with a bunch of different relationships. I just don't know. But you know, my thing is, we tend to worry and fret and have anxiety, and it's been this way in my life with my son. It's been this way in my life with Patty, where we somehow think we love them more than God does. Or we can help them more than God does. Or our plans for them are better than God's plans for them. And so we don't give these things over unto the Lord. Look at what He says. I'm with you. I'll not leave you. I'll not fail you. And I will help you. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and I've got it later on in my notes for another verse. You need to confess out loud. You need to take certain situations to Jesus and not just ask Him to help you with this situation. I want you to take over this situation. I want you to take responsibility for this situation. You remember how I defined that word last week? We were, I think, in 2 Timothy or first, I believe it's 2 Timothy. And I talk about what you commit unto the Lord. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I took this pen and I gave it to Jonathan. And Paul says, commit it unto that day. For the rest of your life. You can commit things to God for the rest of your life. Well, I gave it unto Jonathan. And I said, Jonathan, you take care of this pen. Kelly, you didn't get it here. It's a special pen. It's a 0.4 milliliter and millimeter, and it's a left-handed pen. Most people don't even know they make left-handed pens. And I gave this special pen to Jonathan. And guess what happened today? This morning, he walks up with his Bible, and it was in his Bible, and he opens it up and he gives it back to me. You know something, I didn't worry about it for 5 minutes. I knew Jonathan was going to have that pen. I knew Jonathan, if he was going to be here Sunday, he was going to bring me back that pen. And I want to say something else about Jonathan. He's a man. You know, he's a person. Praise God for the perfect, unfailing God that we can commit things to. And I guarantee Jesus will take care of the pen. And He'll take care of whatever it is you want to give unto Him. I am with you. So my part is to give over unto the Lord. Go with me to Psalm 56. Psalm 56. And look at what the Scripture says there. And I want you to grab hold of that. Psalm 56. Verse 9 says this. When I cry unto thee, O Lord, then shall mine enemies turn back. For this I know, for God is for me. God is for me. Would you just read that out loud? God is for me. Would you say that again? God is for me. And you know what that means? God is on my side. You know, we live in this relationship where and we get this baggage growing up. If you've grown up in a legalistic religion, if you've grown up in a works-based religion, I told you about the funeral director in North Carolina that told me, he said, Leo, I listen to you all the time when you're preaching a funeral, and I appreciate what you say, but I grew up where I was taught if you did something wrong, God was going to zap you with a bolt of light. And I'm serious, a lot of people come out of that, they never get over that. Well, I want you to understand today, Jesus loves you so much He died for you, and God is on your side. Yes. And He's not only on your side, He's on little Elvira's side. I mean, we need to know that God is for our children. You know, he's on Emma's side. And you know, God was on Daniel's side. And we need to grasp this, that God is looking out for us and our loved ones. And so often, but notice our part. All right, that's His part. God's on our side. He's going to defeat the enemies that come into our lives. But look at what He says in verse 3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in God. Verse 4. In God I will praise His word. I have put my trust in God. What's our part? God's part is to take care of us. You know what our part is? Trust Him. And trust Him. Let me pray with you. Father, as this emergency vehicle is headed to a situation, I pray Your protection upon these folks and Your wisdom as they go to help. And wherever they're going, Lord, I pray Your healing and Your protection and that You take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So our job is to trust the Lord. Verse 11, third time in that psalm. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what this life throws my way. So three times, I'm going to trust You with this, God. I'm going to trust You with this, God. I'm going to trust You with this, God. And there are times we need to just pray out loud. I'm going to trust You with my son, Lord. I'm going to trust You with my daughter. And then you can get more specific. I'm going to trust You with this situation in my son's life. I'm going to trust You with this situation in my daughter's life. And I'm not going to do a thing until You move upon me to do it. I'm just not going to take it on my own to go out there and to do these things. And so the Lord is on our side. God is with us. God is there. God is with us. And God is trying to take care of us. Go with me to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. Let me tell you how God feels about you. In Psalm 103, verse 13, the Scripture says this. Like as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him, for He knows our frame and remembers that we're just people. You can read it this way. Like as a father has compassion for his children, So the Lord has compassion for all of us who are His children. Racham is that word, R-A-C-H-A-M, in the Hebrew. The word King James calls pity. But let me give you this definition, because every one of you feels this for your children and your grandchildren. But you're not perfect in it. Sometimes you mess up doing this. But it means this. It means to possess a deep compassion for. And then it goes deeper. A kind sympathy toward, with a strong desire to relieve hardship and suffering. I'm going to say it again. To possess a kind sympathy toward someone, with a strong desire to relieve hardship and suffering. Now, I'm just going to paraphrase it. You know what that word means? That word means God wants to make your life easier. Isn't that wonderful? He wants to relieve hardships in your life and relieve suffering. That's what the Hebrew word means. It means God wants to make your life easier. God wants to help you with things to make your life easier. Now, the reason I said sometimes parents mess up, we sometimes make the lives of our children too easy. That you cross the line called enabling. Let me tell you something. God's perfect. When God's trying to help me out, He's not enabling. He's helping me out for a good reason. He's helping me out to build my faith and build my trust in Him. So what I'm reading to you in Psalm 103 is how God feels about you, what He feels for you, and then what He desires to do for you. He has strong compassion for me. He has a lot of sympathy for what I go through in this life because Jesus lived down here. You know, it's the old Negro spiritual. This world been cruel to you, Lord. Lord, it been cruel to me too. You know, God understands. You have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of your infirmity. And not only does He feel this way about you, this is what He wants to do. He wants to make your life easier. That's His part. You know what His part is? God's part is to make my life easier. Does it mean I'm going to go through difficult times? No. My life going to be a bed of roses? No. But your life can be good and peaceful and joyful. I mean, everybody going to hit bumps. So how does He do that? How does He make our life easy? What might be our part? My great-grandmother, Ken, brings me stuff on my family. My great-grandmother she never met a stranger. And she was an old woman when I was little. But she would walk up to folks and she would say, "And what might be your name? What might be your name?" And so anytime I use a phrase close to that, I think of her. She lived in a little house in Charleston, South Carolina, and my dad would take me. He'd go visit his grandmother maybe once every 2 weeks. And I don't care if it was December or July, she had a big old sweater on. Bless her heart. I'll never forget that. So what might be the way that God wants to make our lives easier? Go to Matthew 11. I'll give you His part again, and I'll give you our part. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 28, Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So, all right, we'll start with verse 28. What's your part? Come unto Jesus. That's my part. What's His part, Lehman? He gonna give me rest.
Amen. Yes, thank you,
He's going to strengthen me.
Yes.
Come unto me. Now, how is it accomplished? Then he says this. Take my yoke upon you. Become yoked with me. And learn of me. What does that mean? That means draw closer in our intimate personal relationship. Epinosis, that you know me relationally. That you have that consistent quiet time in me. Let me tell you, and we're not going to get to that today. We'll get to it in a couple of weeks. The bottom line is, the closer you are to Jesus, the more you entrust Jesus with. The further the devil gets you away from Jesus, the more you're going to worry about stuff and try to handle it yourself. You get a consistent time alone with Jesus, and you convert, like Lehman says, you talk to him, let him talk to you. Have that time alone with the Lord. Get alone. Well, Brother Leo, I just don't have the time. You and Lehman have. Well, let me tell you, that's another area of life. You know what it's called? Time. Betty, if somebody does not have the time to get alone with Jesus, then that area of their life is not under the lordship authority of Christ. Two things. Number one, God made it every day, 24 hours. He felt like that was sufficient. Number two, he wants you to meet with him every day. What's the psalmist said? Morning, noon, and evening, I'll get alone with you and pray. What'd Jesus do? The Son of God would get up before the sun rose and go talk to the Heavenly Father. These examples are saying, you come to church every Sunday. If you don't have a quiet time alone with Jesus, you are not growing in the spiritual quality of your life where you're seeing these kind of victories.
Amen.
You're going to get a whole lot more one-on-one from the Holy Spirit you'll ever get from me. And that's just the truth. That's just the truth. So notice what he says. Become yoked with me. I am meek and I'm easy to get along with.
Yes.
You shall find rest in your soul, and I will lighten the burden. So what is the metaphor here? You got two oxen. One ox on the left, one ox on the right. Usually the ox on the left was the older, more mature ox. And was the lead ox. The ox on the right was the younger ox that needed the guidance from the one on the left. But what Jesus is telling me, let me come into your life, be yoked with you. I will help you shoulder the load. I will carry most of the load. Your part is to follow where I lead. That's all I got to do. That's my part. Work out your own salvation. I want to get yoked with Jesus Christ. We think we got to do it our way. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time we don't think we've got to do it our way. We think we've got to do it the world's way. You know, the way everybody else is doing it. You know, I might go down to the southern border, pick up a bunch of children, bring them up here, put them in Wayne County High School, 100 of them. Give them all violins. Make them take violin lessons. I bet in 2 months every parent in Wayne County will have their kid taking violin lessons. It's a mob mentality. We got to do what they're doing. Oh, we got to do what they're doing. Oh, we got to do what they're doing. No, you don't. You got to do what God leads you to do.
Amen. Yes,
God doesn't lead us all to do the same thing. But boy, it's like that here in Wayne County. It's probably like that in Charleston County. Probably like that in Brevard, North Carolina. I just hadn't been there in 20-something years. I mean, we're like a bunch of lemons that just march off a cliff. Now, I've had Baptist preachers tell me all the time, boy, I wish I could do what you did. Well, go do it. If God's leading you to do it, do it.
Amen. Yeah.
Oh, no, Brother Leo. You know, we got a car allowance. We got a housing allowance. We got an annuity allowance. You know, we're in the convention. And when my church gets mad at me, I need the director of missions to help me find another church and blah, 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 blah. You know, now step out in faith and do what God's calling you to do. When I left my church in North Carolina, I was serious. I was going back into secular work, if that's what God wanted me to do. And Patty and I were going to teach a Bible study to adults that wanted to come to our house. I would still be able to fulfill God's calling on my life. And my friend, you know, and I was reading the guy this morning, and I agree with a lot of what he says, and he was true in this. Sometimes when you're following God, there's a time in your life where you have to take some risk. Define risk. Well, a risk is when you don't know what's going to happen next. When you map everything out, and this is the way it's going to go, and this, A, B, C, and D, you're walking by sight and not faith.
Amen. Yeah.
And without faith, it's impossible to be blessed by God. I wouldn't trade this little building and this little website. I don't know how little it is, Tim, but we're going to say it's little. I wouldn't trade this for First Baptist Atlanta. I wouldn't. Because I know that I know I'm in the center of God's will. God wants everybody to know that they know that they're in the center of God's will. You know what Moses told the Lord? The Lord told Moses, he said, I want you to get everybody up. I'm leading you to the promised land. And you know what Moses said? Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. That's Exodus 33. If your presence doesn't want to go with us, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want to go. I don't want to be where you're not. And I know you're here, so I'm going to stay here if you're not the one that gets up and goes in front of us. How many areas in your life right now you're involved in or a direction you're going in and God is nowhere to be found? He just ain't there. Well, Brother Leo, this is my family. Brother Leo, I'm going to tell you something. They may not understand. They probably won't understand. But sometimes you've got to look a loved one in the eye and say, look, I don't think God's in this. I think this particular situation has brought confusion into my life and my home. And I just can't be doing this anymore. Not that I don't love you. But God's leading me in another direction. How many people get to that place in life? How many people take those stands in life? God will bless you. You may be the very one that's keeping these people from having a come to Jesus moment. Because why should they depend on Jesus when they got you running around like a chicken with your head cut off? My goal is one day, you know, Charlie Lehman, I may have one of y'all speak at my funeral. And I want y'all to say he was half Billy Graham and half Will Rogers. Now, most people won't know who Will Rogers was, but I do. And he was the kind of guy that would say you're running around like a chicken with your head cut off. So, you know, I know y'all, you know, we're of that generation that doesn't know how to use a cell phone. And I'm proud of it. But anyway, look at what he says. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am easy to get along with, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Lord, and you need to confess this out loud. You need to say, Lord Jesus, I want you to take this area of my life over. I want to give me the strength to give this thing over unto you, Lord Jesus, and let you carry it. Go with me to 1 Peter. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5 verse 7 says this. Cast all... I'll wait for you to get there. If you're having trouble finding it, it's the book right in front of 2 Peter. I miss that question. In my ordination, you're sitting there getting ordained and there's about 12 preachers there. And they asked me how many books were in the Bible. I did not know. I didn't. And they told me to guess. I said, go ahead and get. I said, you know. I went out. You have to leave the room. I told Patty, I said, they're not going to license me to be ordained. I said, well, we won't have to sell the horses, you know. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. You ever heard that verse quoted? People say, oh, you need to cast all your care upon him. Well, that is not the end of the verse. There's a reason you cast all your care upon him. But first, let me give you the Greek word for cast. It means to cast off upon someone or something, but the implication is a transferal with confidence. A transferal with confidence. And Jonathan, I'm not going to go through this exercise again, but let's say this is my favorite plant in the whole world, and I've had it for 30 years. And I've taken care of it, looked after it, and I took it and I transferred it over to Jonathan for him to take care of for the next 10 years. And I'm not going to do that because I almost fell down last week. But that's what the word means, to transfer it to somebody else for them to take care of it. And you know, and here's another phrase that people don't finish. They say, oh, you got to let go and let God. You know, let go and let God. That's not strong enough. You got to let go and let God handle it. That's what you need to say. Yeah. I'm going to let go and let God handle it.
Yeah.
And then define the it. I'm going to let go and let God handle the situation. You saw a Hebrew word a moment ago where God wants to let your life ease the burdens in your life. Well, that word, He cares for you, M-E-L-E-I, it means to be concerned for or to care about deeply. To be concerned for and to care about deeply. Man, there is no way, Val. We care for our children and we care for our grandchildren. I mean, can anybody ever imagine? You know, a little precious grandbaby gets born. Can anybody ever imagine caring for any more deeply than you care for a precious little grandchild? Well, I want you to multiply that by infinity. That's how much God cares for you. Is that not astounding? Man, I could go sit on the front porch, watch the hummingbirds, and just focus on this one verse. And that's probably what everybody needs to do. Realize how much He cares. Realize God is on your side. Realize God wants to help you. But the one thing you're not doing is giving it over to Him to let Him take care of it.
Yeah.
What did He say? I shall give you rest. That means cessation from physical work. But it means physical, mental, emotional, stuff that leads you to exhaustion. Brother Leo, I can't do it. You can do it. It's a matter of your will and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. I want to close out where we were the other day. If you'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll wait for you. If you can't find it, it's right behind. Miss Betty's sitting on the front row going, don't do that again. If you're listening on the website, we're doing good here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11 says this. Paul was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Now, I took you to last week where the Lord said, Paul, don't be kicking against the pricks. Paul's life, at one point in his life, you know, you're getting goaded with an ox goad, and the ox just keeps kicking against it. He's wanting to do it his way. And the Lord said to him, Paul, you're just going to wear yourself out. And as we studied, you actually, they would harm themselves doing that. And you know, we go through life a lot of times. God had a certain plan for Paul's life, and he was living the opposite of it. Paul wanted him preaching the gospel to see people get saved in the name of Jesus. That was God's plan. And yet Paul was out here getting edicts from Caesar to kill Christians. Is that not unbelievable? I don't want to live my life on the wrong page. But there are areas in your life, areas in my life, areas in our life, where we're on the total opposite page than what God is. And you need to sit down. What I would do is sit down and write out all the areas in your life that are important to you, and then go examine them. Is this under God's leadership? Am I trusting God with this? Am I giving this over to God? Am I giving this over to God? All right, here's God's part, here's your part. Verse 12. For which cause I suffer many of these things, for I know whom I believe. That's part 3, we'll get there in a moment. And am persuaded, we'll get there next time, that he is able to keep that. All right, that's God's part. God's part is to keep stuff. And I'll give you the Greek in a moment. Our part, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. My part is to commit to give over unto God. Now, that word keep in the Greek, P-H-U-L-A-X-O, means this. It means to watch over, to guard, to protect, and to take responsibility for. God is able to watch over, protect, and take responsibility for. That which I have committed unto him. Commit, parathike, P-A-R-A-T-H-E-K-E in the Greek, means to make a deposit like at a bank, or to establish a trust. To commit something to someone else's charge, responsibility, and care. I'll say it again. You're committing something from your responsibility to someone else's charge, responsibility, and care. This is the only way to make God operative and active in a certain area of your life. God's power is not going to work in an area in your life where you're calling the shots, where you're making the decision, when you're doing everything the way the world's doing it. God ain't going to work in that. Not one iota will God work in that. Why? Because you're independent from God. You know what faith is? Dependence on God. Says the just shall live by faith. You're living by faith in certain areas of your life, and in other areas you're independent of God. I can handle this. Wouldn't you like to see what God can do with this area of your life?
Yes.
That's what I want, Melissa. You know, I don't know how much longer I've got to live. But I would sure like to live with a lot less self-imposed pressure. I got up yesterday and Patty goes, you seem to be down. I said, Patty, we got 3 services in 5 days. The days we're not doing the services, we're traveling, and I've got Crohn's disease. And I'm anxious about it. I told Patty coming in today, I said, you know what my goal is today? She said, what? I said, I'm going to leave that pulpit and not feel exhausted.
Amen.
And I don't feel exhausted.
Amen.
Man, I'm done. mean, I'm finished. I'm going to walk out. Kelly, put your shoes on. We'll run 2 miles. Whatever. But yeah, look at what it says. For this cause. And then he says, I am persuaded. He is able to keep. That's his responsibility. Those things I give over unto him. Lord Jesus, you are now in charge of this. You take responsibility for this. And you say that to him out loud. I'm giving this over to you, Lord Jesus. I went through Daniel's whole high school career and didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed his college career more because we weren't playing for anything at that point. Everything had been achieved. But I worried and worried and worried and worried. And you know, I want people to profit from my mistakes. You know, I want people to profit from my mistakes of thinking that God didn't have a plan for my son. You've been preaching 39 years, and during that time, you really lived as if God didn't have a plan for your son? Yes, I did. I knew I had a plan. I knew how I wanted things to go. And, you know, we fall into those traps. I want to see what God can do with this area in my life. And where we're going to pick up at, look at what he says there. For I know whom I have believed. I told you this last week. It's not about what I believe. It's whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he, who I know personally, and know this about it, you know who we know? You know who our friend is? The one that parted the Red Sea. The one that walked on water. The one that calmed the storm. The one that rose from the dead. The one that ascended into heaven. The one that's coming back with the army. That's the guy you want taking care of this situation. Amen. The better you know him, understand him, praise his name for who he is, the more you're going to... You'll entrust stuff with him. You won't even realize you're entrusting him with him. You'll just wake up one morning and say, you know, I haven't worried about that in 3 months. I haven't tried to fix that in 3 months. I framed your text. I did. And this is what you wrote. I've been a burden bearer all my life. When you wrote that, I said, that's me. And then I think Matthew 11. Come unto me, all shoulder of the load. Liz, you've been a burden bearer all your life. I know you people well enough. I can pick them out. Praise God. You've got a God that wants to carry the load. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I'm just going to say a few things to you. God is with you. God is for you. God's power is available unto you. And all you've got, you know what your part is? Come unto me, Leo. Allow being yoked with me in this area of your life. And let me shoulder the majority of the load. Now your part is you're going to have to follow me. I'm the lead ox in this team. But I'm right there with you. And you're right there close to me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, is there an area in your life that God is speaking to you right now and he's saying, come unto me and let me shoulder this load. Follow me. And my power, my blessing, and my provision will become evident in this area that you're giving over, that you're committing unto me. Is there an area in your life? Hey, when you got saved, you committed salvation and eternal life unto Christ. And you trust that what he did on the cross was enough. Yeah. My friend, it's all this stuff that falls below that. But I want you to know he is still more than enough. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you take a few moments to talk with Jesus?